Yes, I'd like to thank you for the goodness that you brought into my life. The whole program is based on Christ, and I think it's a great systematic way in order to help people order their lives in Jesus. And I think that's the integral message, is Jesus Christ. God bless and have a good day. Bye-bye.
He has, and thank you. You know, we're setting up the show today with an interesting topic. We're talking about repurposing your life. Have you ever woken up and said, how in the world did I get here and I'm going in this direction? There's got to be a better direction, a better purpose, better meaning, something that's going to be more significant for my life. And what have you done? That's really the question. How have you gotten your life back on track, going in the direction that God desires for you? Tell us about it. Call our comment line. It's just for you, it's for our listeners to share your stories at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. As far as the live show today, we have our calls already recorded from our archives and they're ready to go. But our comment line is open to you again. 888-888-1717. I was teaching the staff this morning. I was talking about the difference between intention and goals. And intention is something that should be pretty constant in our lives. What I mean by that is intention is something deep into the very fabric of who we are and what matters to us, our values and beliefs. And as an example, I value marriage. I value my relationship with Donna. And so my intention is to love her and serve her the best I can. Now, my goals might change over time. My goals in the first year of marriage would be different than my goals in the 30th year of marriage, because we're different people going through different situations and different experiences. But at the end of the day, it comes back to our intention. And so when you're thinking about repurposing your life today, think about what is God's intention for your life? And then think about how can you get on that track? Tell us if you've been there and tell us what difference it's made.
Good afternoon. My name is Cheryl. I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona. I'm calling because I have listened to Family Life Radio for some time now. About 3 months ago, I accepted Christ in my life after being of a different denomination. So I've had to make some intentional choices. But I had to make choices in my life that do I continue an unhealthy relationship, or do I make an intentional decision to follow and have an intimate relationship with Christ? And what I have chose to do is develop a relationship with Christ. And to have that, by listening to the radio and listening to Dr. Carlson and to listening to other support and ministries from Family Life, I have been able to make some great choices and some great leaps and changes. But the choices I've made is intentionally to follow Christ. For that, I am so incredibly grateful, incredibly humbled that I have a Savior that loves me unconditionally, and that I had made the choices that I made so I can develop and grow in the ministry of Christ. Thank you for this example, and thank you for helping me make these decisions. God bless. Goodbye.
You're welcome, Cheryl. We're just glad to be a part of your journey. You know, we were talking this week about our ministry and who we are, and the word came up over and over that we're really walking with you. We're on this journey of life together. And as God reveals himself through scripture and lessons that we've learned, we love to share them with you and walk with you. And so, Cheryl, thank you for encouraging me and encouraging our team to keep on doing what God has called us to do. We're talking about repurposing your life today. And that's not so much, I know you can think about, well, you know, I'm a plumber and I really would rather go and do something else. That's one type of repurposing your life. But we're thinking a little more deeply in terms of your purpose, your meaning. Now, it may impact your career, certainly, but it more likely would impact maybe how you think and how you respond to people. Back to your intention. What is the intention of your life? Here's what I believe. As we really get clear on what our intention is about our marriage, our family, our work, our faith, that is going to inform the decisions that we make and the goals that we set. And that's a powerful thing. And so we love hearing your stories. That's a big part of what we do. We're in community together. Share yours at 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Jason. And I just wanted to start with like this past year, I mean, I'm in high school still, and I started changing like the way I've been living, and I was a very good kid my freshman and sophomore year. Then I started opening my eyes and reading the Bible. My dad was always there to over my shoulder to like push me and tell me to do right, you know. I was in the rebellious stage, but now like I've been praying and I've been reading the Bible, and everything in my life is starting to change. Like everything is opening up to me, and like I can see things way more clear than I have in the past. And I'm trying to reach out to my friends, but like the friends that I'm hanging out with aren't very good kids. I really would like help with that and some advice on how to become a better Christian.
Well, listen, we talk about being a better Christian. And I understand what we say, but it's as though, you know, if I just do more, I can get to be a better Christian. And I'll tell you what, it's immersing ourselves in God's intentional love and in the values that we believe. And you just said it. If you're hanging around with people who don't support your values, don't encourage your values, aren't going to raise you up, aren't going to make you a better person, aren't going to help you to grow, then don't hang around with those people. You know, it's like that joke that we've said over the years. You go to your doctor and say, "Doctor, it hurts when I do this." And he says, "Well, then don't do this. You know, don't touch that if it hurts." And so in a sense, hey, listen, if being around the wrong people, you become like the people you hang around with, and don't hang around with them. Okay, let me go to the phone. I think we'll set this up by taking some calls, and then I want to share some things with you from God's Word. Let's go to Aaron in Texas first. Aaron, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What prompted you to call on this topic today?
I'm first of all, I'm married. Uh-huh. I have two kids, and we've come into a little rough patch. And I'm an Army veteran, and I'm thinking about rejoining. And I just feel called to do it. I've been praying about it, and it's just been tugging at my heart. And for a while there, I was trying to, you know, to ignore this feeling that I've been called to do this, and it just keeps coming back to me. And I just finally started listening, you know, to God, and so I started pursuing, you know, that avenue. And it's just a scary, you know, going through it. I didn't really, you know, I was never deployed or anything, but this day and age is totally different, and mm-hmm. you know, it's a scary thing to do. And
Well, I appreciate your service, and we all do. Thank you for your service to the country. I would ask, though, we can't pass the statement you said, we've gone through a rough patch. How does that rough patch attach to now I want to go back into the military?
Well, me and my wife, we're a young couple. And I'm 24. She's 22. We don't have any careers, I guess you would say. I have a career, and I have a good job, and I make good money, but I don't have a career that I'm, you know, passionate about. And I wake up every morning and say, this is God's plan for me.
Mm-hmm. So you feel called to do this, but is your wife in agreement? And how would you characterize the quality of your marriage now?
She's very supportive, you know, like any other spouse, I guess, in the situation. She has her concerns, and as do I, and I, you know, fully understand her concerns.
Yeah.
But she's very supportive, and she knows my passion, and she knows how I feel about it, and she's the one that brought it up and asked if I wanted to pursue getting back into it. And, you know, this rough patch has been tough, but I will say that it has brought our marriage to a point that it is unbreakable and unshakable. We've been through so many, you know, life-changing events just this year,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, I don't think there's anything that could, you know, break through us. And, you know, we started putting God in the center of our relationship, and it's just outstanding to see the improvements on our marriage. And not to say that our marriage was bad before, but it is tremendously better, and she is very supportive of everything that I do. And, you know, she wants to go back to school, and I'm very supportive of that, and I support that. And
it's good.
The military, she could go to school for free. And, you know, it just seems like a good option.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it has its downfalls, you know, being away from family and all that. But
well, I think I would, first of all, Aaron, again, thank you for your service as a young couple. You're getting started in your marriage. You didn't elaborate on the rough patch, what it was, but that's okay. But I think what you're saying is you've been through it. You've been growing as a couple through this process, getting stronger in your marriage, Remember, points of change, whenever we change and do something, can either be a positive or negative. Change really puts stress on life. And so I would just encourage you as a young couple to make sure that whatever the issues are in the past, clearly they've been resolved. Clearly you have a good support structure in place. You're on the same page and you're making this decision knowing that change is going to put some additional stress and pressure, and you're putting accountability and those things in place as you do that. And as you do, that will help strengthen your marriage and your relationship. And so we'll be praying for you, Aaron, as you go, and I hope you'll keep listening to the radio wherever you go on the planet. We'll be here for you online, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, and God bless you, and thank you for your service. You know, what separates us from a person who is a non-believer, a person listening today who doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe that God is God, he's something out there, but not the creator, not the savior. What separates us is not that we are better than anybody else. We're just people. But the evolutionist, for instance, believes that nothing evolved into everything without anyone for no purpose whatsoever. That's why we're so man-centric. And that gives us a rise in a sense of hopelessness. The CDC reports that since 99 through 14, suicide in this country rose 24%. So if we're more progressive and doing better as a world, as a nation, we wouldn't see that kind of number. And I think part of the sense of not knowing my purpose, not knowing where I'm going and so on, is that we don't plug in to the fact that we've been made with and for a purpose. As a Christian, we believe God created everything out of nothing, allowing man in turn to create things like a good marriage, working hard in our family, building a business, whatever it may be, to give God glory. Our goal should be to be successful in our marriage and our family for God's glory and, frankly, for our benefit. Who wants to live in a marriage that's tough? You know, to work on it in a way that really honors God. And so we're going to get to more calls, but I would encourage you today to think about that in terms of purpose. Why am I here? And love to hear from you. 888-1717.
Hi, Randy. My name is Sorrow, and I wanted to call and leave a comment about intentional living. About a year ago, I made an intentional decision to change my career. I'm working for a juvenile corrections center, but I work with these adjudicated youth on a daily basis. Your ministry is such a blessing. It's become aware to me that everything does make a big difference as far as what comes out of my mouth. I work directly with these kids. It's very important what is said to them and what is not said to them. I just wanted to thank you for your ministry and let you know that it is definitely making a difference in people's lives.
Hey, thank you for sharing that. We're glad to be here. And as you share your story and the ministry encouragement in your life, that means a lot to me, and I thank you for it. More about purpose and about your family, and in particular your marriage, and living that passionate, purpose-filled life, that intentional life that we call it, in your marriage.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office. Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
What is the purpose of life? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I'm smiling because we were just talking about 60 seconds to explain the whole purpose of life. I think I can do it. Because the Bible says to us in the final words of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, what's the conclusion of the whole matter, he says? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I think I did it in less than 60 seconds. Intentionally run the decisions that you're making, the actions you're about to take, the thoughts that you're thinking through this question. Does what I'm doing now, what I'm thinking now, what I'm going to do next, glorify God? And when we do those things, you know what? That's intentional living. And I actually did it in less than 60 seconds.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And welcome back here to the Intentional Living Center. We're just kind of laying out all the cards face up on the table here about the reality that we all wrestle at times with feeling like we're burned out, heading in the wrong direction. You might be a believer and you're wrestling. You may not be a believer and you're wrestling. As Christians, we don't lose some of the potential to wrestle with it, finding our purpose and living our purpose for sure. Let me go to Darlene. I think she's wrestling some there in New Mexico today. Darlene, welcome to the program.
Yes. Good afternoon, Doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
I am married. We've been married for 36 years, my husband and I.
Mm-hmm.
And the last year and a half, almost 2 years, I have been struggling on finding my purpose and my balance between my marriage and also taking care of my elderly mother that has dementia.
Mm.
And I'm pretty close to going and having a divorce because of I just don't know exactly what is more important, I guess.
So you're just saying, I'm tired of everything. I'm tired of the stress. I got my parents. I got my husband. It says here, two grown daughters, so you're an empty nester at this stage. Are you feeling like you're kind of lost in this sea? And now, you know, what about Darlene kind of a thing?
Pretty much.
So it's not any big crisis. It sounds like it's just a lot of things that are building up. Is that what it is?
Yes, with my marriage, but I believe just since we've moved to New Mexico, it's been a struggle trying to find, I guess, my commitment to taking care of my mother, because my father has been gone for several years.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to work both, and like I said, Dr. Compton, I'm very close to divorce, and my husband does want to file for a divorce.
How is your life going to be better if you divorce?
I really don't know. I don't know how it would be better, but I feel that it's just been a heavy struggle trying to accommodate both.
Yeah.
My husband at this point has pretty much was supportive, but at this point he's turned to drinking and kind of not.
So he's burned out too.
I believe so.
Darlene, listen, you've been so honest, and I think, you know, I've shared over the years when marriages fail, generally speaking, they don't fail overnight. You know, sometimes it'll happen, something, you know, stupid will happen, but most often it's just, it's life. You're caught in the middle. You got aging parents that you love, you want to care for, but you're feeling burdened. You don't know what to do. You have a husband who's probably feeling stressed, and instead of dealing with issues, he turns to alcohol. You're feeling caught in the middle, and here you are at what I call the middle. This is the middle of life. And everything is messy in the middle. Every project in life is messy in the middle. And when you do a building project, it's exciting at the beginning, and it's nice when it's at the end, right? And it's completed. But in the middle, it's a mess. The house is a mess. It's noisy, you know, whatever. And I think that's sort of a word picture of our life. Many times in the middle, Darlene, life gets pretty messy in the middle. And I'm not there, so it's hard for me to be in your shoes, but I would give you a perspective to pray about. When we move from one spot to think, if I get a divorce, things are going to be better, you're going to bring in a whole other layer of problems into your life, okay? And a whole other layer of issues. There might be an immediate sense of relief, but it doesn't solve the problem. Let me just share with you what I'd encourage you to do. And then I want to send you my book, Starved for Affection, as a gift from me. And I encourage you and your husband to read it. Don't give up on this marriage. Don't give up on allowing God to do something special in your life. You guys at one point had a lot of love for each other, or you wouldn't have gotten married, I assume. You got a lot of history after 36 years. You can do this together if you do it together. Now, the drinking isn't going to help, and the discouragement's not going to help. But if the two of you can stand together and get good counseling, put a plan together and start knocking off some of these things that are, you know, discouraging you and bringing you down, knowing that God has a purpose for your marriage, has a purpose for your life. He has an intention for your life. He has an intention for your marriage. I can share with you that the research shows if couples willing to work together and stick together when times get tough, most of them report later, hey, we made it. That was a tough time, but we're glad we made it and we stuck together. Don't give up on this marriage. Hang on, Darlene. I want to send you the book, Starved for Affection, and I want to ask you as a listener all over this country, all around this world, to pray for Darlene and her husband in New Mexico today. Would you do that? I think she represents what this whole program, what this ministry is all about, knowing that God has an intentional purpose for our life, for our marriage, for our family, and then living it every day.
When we were together, I was talking down to him, and I'm a control freak. I did not realize what it was doing to him until one day he said, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce.
Intentional love. It's the difference between marriages that succeed and marriages that fail.
I needed to make some changes because I wasn't going to change him. I needed to change me. So I tried to start building him up, complimenting him, trying to turn over more of the finances to him instead of trying to be in control. He didn't know how to take it at first. That was the hardest part, was to get through him knowing that I was serious about making those changes.
Intentional love is an irresistible force that turns small acts of love into large returns of intimacy and closeness.
He said a prayer and asked God to give us many more years together. He started making his own changes and started really building me up, and it just became more of a team rather than one against one.
Boy, you know, thank you, Rob, for playing that. That's one of the spots that we had scheduled to play today. And I think it's appropriate right after Darlene's call. Did you hear? They were down. They were struggling. All of a sudden, she changed her mind. She changed her attitude. She changed her behavior. I am convinced in most cases, as followers of Christ, with a lot of prayer and humility, realizing that God has a purpose for our marriage, if we choose to change our attitude and behavior, things change. Intentional love is when you take small attitude and action adjustments, small. It's leverage, and it creates large returns of intimacy and closeness in marriage. I have seen it 1,000 times. Small attitude and action adjustments create large returns of intimacy and closeness in marriage.
One of the biggest things I've struggled with was making sure to take time for my wife. Never really saw that as a big deal when I was growing up because my family never took time for each other.
As parents, you just forget to nurture that primary relationship in the family.
One thing we're doing to be intentional now is we're trying to make our marriage more of a priority like it was when we first got married.
I have to put my husband first above my own needs. The Lord was just showing me it's not him, it's you. Let me work in your life.
We should intentionally emulate the examples that Christ set for us because he's the giver of love, and once we follow him, we will know how to love and be intentional about all that we do.
What I feel like I'm going to do intentionally is put my husband first and his desires and his needs, not what I want. I have to do what will better our family.
The one thing I take away from this, perseverance in my child rearing and perseverance in my marriage.
You know, those are real people coming out of one of our intentional living conferences. And these were folks who had been a part of our day or our evening together, talking about the power of intentional living. By the way, I'm excited about reintroducing some of our conferences. We've been sort of hesitant and backed off because of COVID, but we're back at it now. And we had some conferences last year and looking for some more this year. And I'm excited about the message this year. It's percolated, it's grown, it's developed. And I think it's going to be a very, very positive experience for those who come and be a part of the Intentional Living Conferences. But anyway, those are one thing messages. Here's the deal. Maybe you're in a situation in your life where things aren't working the way you'd like them to work. Here's a question. What one thing could you do, or one thing you could change and stop doing, that would make the biggest difference in your life, your marriage, your finances, or whatever area it is that you're concerned about? And if you were to do that for 30 days, what difference would it make? Here's what I'm offering. If you say, hey, this is my one thing, pray for me, I'm going to send you from our ministry free of charge our one thing wristband, because I'd love to have you wear the same one I wear every day. Put it on and say, hey, for 30 days, this is my one thing. And if you'd like to receive that, all you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com/WB. Again, theintentionallife.com/WB, and we'll get that to you. If you're a hands person, meaning that you kind of view life, the window to your world is getting things done, you love checklists, you love checking things off the list, and then if you do something not on the list, you put it on the list so you can check it off. You know who I'm talking to. The scripture reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're to labor working with our hands, and then it goes on to say what is good. In other words, making sure that our efforts, the things that are priorities, are done in a way that does good for other people in relationships and in our own relationship with Christ. Your window to the world, there's three of them we talk about: head, heart, and hand. In this month's exclusive lesson for our Intentional Living community, and we'd love to have you be a part of it, invite you to join in. When you help support the ministry, you will start receiving this teaching, both audio and video, each month to help you and encourage you. And I just want you to take it, listen to it, view it, share it with your pastor, share it with your kids, share it with the neighbor, and help others. Make it a ministry, if you please, of sharing these things that'll help you think about what does it mean to live an intentional life in Christ. Here's how you can join today. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. You'll see the little donate icon there. Click on it, sign up, and we'll get our teaching to you automatically. But what you're going to be doing is stand with us hand in hand to make a difference in somebody's life. And it's not so much what the amount is. We just want you to be a part of this journey with us and get this to you. So again, all you have to do to receive the audio and video teaching every month in your email box is go to theintentionallife.com. Hey, thanks for joining me today. Let me know, what is it you're doing to repurpose your life in 2022?